At the outset of Parshas Bamidbar, in Perek Beis, we read with great detail the outline of the structure of the Jewish people's encampment while they were in the Midbar, in the desert. The people are instructed to surround the Mishkan on all four sides. On each of the sides, there are groups, altogether now four groups, each which had three Shvatim. Four groups of three in the four directions, completely surrounding the Mishkan. Within each group of three Shvatim, the Torah tells us, there was a leading Shevet. Yehuda led the group to the east, Reuven to the south, Ephraim to the west, and Dan in the north. And each of these groups, each of these clusters, had a Degel, reflecting that leading tribe of the particular group. Question, as we go through all of these details, is why was it important for them to do it, and why is any of it important for us to know? Let's highlight three answers, three different approaches that are found in the Rishonim. Ibn Ezra here suggests that in fact, the physically powerful tribes of Yehuda and Dan are selected specifically to the most strategic and important positions of the camp, the front and the back. This way they have a front strength when they have to attack, and they have a strength in the back protecting their rear flank. This idea, this focus on the military prowess of the group of Jewish people of the camp is also highlighted by the Abarbanel, who adds that those sections that are so important strategically, front and back, are also, if you look at the tabulations of the various groups of Shvatim that the Torah gives us, it is these two, the front and the back, which are the most heavily populated, adding to their military strength. It's interesting that we can parallel this approach of the Ibn Ezra and Abarbanel, who say that the Torah's stress on how the tribes were situated in the Midbar as being in preparation for their military prowess and the fact that eventually they're going to have to go into Eretz Yisrael and fight the nations of Canaan, it fits and parallels a comment of the Rashbam and others early in the Sefer, the first parak of Bamidbar, where we have a different, very technical, incredibly detailed description in Psukim, and that is of a census that is taken by the Moshe of the Jewish people as they're about to begin their march in the desert. And the question of why we need yet another census, so the Rashbam says in a similar vein as what we've just seen, that now that the Jewish people are traveling to Eretz Yisrael, where they will need to go to war with the Canaanite nations, so Moshe is taking account and making an assessment of the military strength. So parallel to that Rashbam, we have our first approach as to why the Torah spends so much time focusing on the layout and the division of the campment. Ibn Ezra and Abarbanel say it has to do with preparing the people for any possible military threat. A second approach is suggested by the Ramban in his Hakdamah, his introduction to Bamidbar. He says that the encampment was intended to recreate the scene of Ma'amad Har Sinai. We know back in Sefer Shmos, at the time of the giving of the Torah, there was a din of Hagbolah, a group of halachos that were very strictly drawing boundaries around the mountain, and anyone who came close and violated and trespassed those boundaries would actually be chayiv misa, it's a capital punishment. So too now, says Ramban, boundaries are drawn around the Mishkan, regulating who would be able to come close to that holy place. While time doesn't permit giving all of the examples, the Ramban very brilliantly shows numerous parallels between the Psukim here in Perek Beis and our Parsha in the Psukim that relate to Har Sinai. And the idea seems to be, in a very powerful and meaningful way, that we are highlighting the idea that the Mishkan was a portable or traveling Har Sinai. We shouldn't think that Sinai was just a one-time magical spiritual moment, a moment in time never to be recreated, a singular moment. Of course it was, but what the Ramban and others who follow him are really highlighting is that an element and a dimension of the unique experience of Sinai was able to be portable, was able to be traveling with the people, was able to be taken with them. And the Mishkan as the center of the people and the way we surrounded the Mishkan was similar to the way we surrounded the mountain to highlight this fact that it wasn't a one-time experience exclusively, but rather the ability to draw close to Hashem, to be inspired, to serve Hashem at the highest level, that continues. It wasn't just at Har Sinai, but now that travels with us in the form of the Mishkan, and our encampment surrounding the Mishkan, similar to the way we surrounded the mountain, highlights this parallel and this very powerful message. Last but not least, Rabbeinu Bachaye here in Perek Beis suggests a different parallel, and that is that the parallel of the camp of the Jewish people and the tribes and the way we're set up, says the Rabbeinu Bachai, based on various Midrashim, parallels a celestial camp up in Shemaim, up in heaven, made up of 12 tribes of angels surrounding somehow the Kisei HaKavod or some intensive part of Hashem's presence up in the heavens. And each of these 12 tribes are divided into groups of three, surrounding them on all, surrounding Hashem on all four sides, paralleling the campment of the Jewish people into of 12 tribes in four groups of three surrounding the Mishkan. The Rabbeinu Bachai, very brilliantly points out that the Torah notes the names of the Nesiim of the tribes. And if you look at all of the Nesiim, all of the princes, the 12 princes that are mentioned, only four of them have Hashem's name, so to speak, of Aleph Lamed, Kel. Only four of them have that letter combination embedded in their name. Netanel, Shalumiel, Gamliel, and Pagiel. And says Rabbeinu Bachai, wouldn't you know it? These four Nesiim represent one of the tribes of each of the four clusters, that of Reuven, Yehuda, Ephraim, and Dan. That is to say, each of the four clusters, each of the four directions, had at least one Nasi who had the name of Hashem embedded into the name of one of those Nesiim of those princes, thereby symbolically attaching, so to speak, Hashem's name to every section of the camp, further highlighting this parallel between what's going up in Shamayim in heaven and what was going on down on earth in the Midbar. In L'chora, this is symbolizing a different, very important message, and that is the unity between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people. That we have the possibility, we have the power to create, so to speak, a heaven on earth. It is that much within our hands. We can create something that really mimics the most spiritual things and the highest of the high, just like they have in Shamayim. We can surround the Mishkan down here.